KF8 BFO monitoring. KF8 BOT. N8LJN mobile monitoring.
WA8WQU listening 147.38.
WA8WQU, this is N8LJN. Jerry, I do that?
Hey, did somebody give me a call on the 38 here? WA8WQU. I was in the kitchen. Did somebody give me a call here on the 38?
Yes, I did. I think it's Jerry, right? This is N8LJN, Larry. We spoke the other day. I just want to let you know your signal is coming in very clear today. Again, I'm over here in Little Pier, and we're coming through the Link Network.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, thanks for the report. Yeah, I had... I was sharing some information with somebody, and then I looked at my 3x5 card, and I had some pencil marks on there, and I wasn't really sure what the pencil marks were for the offset. So I knew that I was able to get in because I did bring the repeater up, and it did ka-chunk me. So you're mobile, Larry?
Roger that. Hey, I'm just going to do a little radio phone here and off on my way to help another ham. What you up to today?
Well, I was looking at my garden and looking at my my chain link fence. Underneath the chain link fence, there's a lot of weeds. So yesterday I used some weed killer, and today I went around and I got a couple of spots, and apparently the weed killer said that it would work in 3 hours, and sure enough, it did.
Well, my XYL does not care for the chemical solutions. I keep telling her, started living through chemistry, but she doesn't buy that. And so I had to do it the hard way. And a couple days ago, I spent 3 hours trimming the farm. But it does look great when it's done, doesn't it?
I agree. One thing that a couple of areas I had concern with was my driveway, where the cracks in the driveway. You know, dirt got in there, and then the weeds got in there, and no kidding, I took my my weed whacker to the weeds on the cracks in my driveway, cement driveway, and then I put the weed killer. I soaked it pretty good so that I got what was left of the weeds, but the roots as well, if they were, you know, down the driveway crack a little bit. So that was a good 4th of July project.
Yeah, I spent a little time cleaning up a wood pile and doing some other things, and then I decided it was too hot, so I came in and chilled out with the missus, and had a very nice barbecue in the afternoon, and enjoyed that, and just generally took it easy all night. So that was a pleasant port. Now it's back at it. We got to do some, get productive here. Yeah, well, maybe not today, but certainly next week.
Are you going to help somebody with an antenna or something?
Yeah, it's radio programming. He's got the RD5100, and you know, on the looks of it, it's a pretty complicated machine. But I'm sure once he and I get used to it, it's quite a nice machine. So that's what we're working on today.
Well, cool. I just got helping my apprentice. He, him and I spent probably a half hour, an hour on the telephone going, and basically I had no idea how his radio worked. But from the principle, he at least had a good idea between the vehicle and the channel and the memory and the setup menu. So what I found was that basically when he got his stuff set up in the VFO mode and he tried to write the tried to store the VFO into the memory mode, apparently he wasn't hitting the right keys. But at least I was sure that's what his hang up was, and sure enough, that's what he found.
Yeah, roger that. Up until recently, I was doing it that way only. Only recently did I get the RT system software for my ID880. And boy, that's really a great help. I've been trying to use the ICOM software for the 5100, but it's a little challenging. So I'm going to demonstrate that. We're going to see what we can do going forward with this gentleman, and go from there.
Yeah, I got the software for my Yaesu HT, my Yaesu HF radio, and my Yaesu 2-meter radio. So I have the software. Probably had it for 10 years or something like that. Probably obsolete now, I don't know. But I do know how to program it by hand. The offset and the... But I'll tell you, it takes me 10 minutes to get my head around it though again. I don't have that memory I had 20 years ago.
Well, I don't think it's a memory thing. I think it's, like we were talking the other day, it's multitasking. There's too many things going on, and, you know, every radio is a little bit different. I was shocked at how much different the 5100 is with the ID880, which is also a new-to-me radio. And it just takes some learning curve. It takes a little while.
Yeah, I agree, Larry. I felt kind of fortunate because I kind of stuck with Yaesu just for the fact that the front buttons on all three of them were relatively the same vocabulary. You know, when they say reverse, they mean reverse instead of input or, you know, some other verbiage. So I had pretty good luck with the the Yaesu being relatively similar. They were not identical, but they were similar enough so that what I learned on one, I didn't completely lose the vocabulary.
Yeah, that's very true. The crowd that I hang around with is mostly an ICOM family, and but I've got a Yaesu handheld, as do others, and I really like both of the platforms. They're very nice. Ironically, I'm talking to you on a very old Kenwood mobile, 731A. Got it just because it was inexpensive and I could hack a resistor to make it cross-band repeat, which I needed for a service event. But it's only got 10 memory locations. Can you believe that? 10. And I didn't really care or notice until recently. I thought, well, yeah, maybe I'll program my Yaesu, or excuse me, my Kenwood. And then I was like, ah, it's not worth programming. Nothing in here.
Oh, Roger. Yeah, I know what you mean, Larry. My first HT was a Tentec, and I tried to tried to get it going here lately, and I really loathe that Tentec HT. It doesn't work anymore, and Tentec's not in business, so I can't have them refurbish it. But I love that radio because, as you know what I mean, you've been into the era where you have radios and the radio had one button, one function. Now, almost every radio is available. It's got one button, another button, and then a menu, and then another button.
Yeah, I have to admit that I enjoy the buttons. I like tweaking the dials, and that's why I like a manual tuner for HF. Someday I might get tired of it, but for right now it's just fun. And that's kind of a funny observation because when we were doing our technician training course here last year, my Elmer came in and brought a Tentec. And I think the main benefit of that is you can see exactly that. This button does this. This button does that. And it's a good instruction for new radio operators.
Yeah, and also the display. If the display shows VFO mode and get familiar with memory mode and channel mode and setup mode and so forth, yeah. Yeah, you probably are a big fan of antenna analyzers too. I had the MFJ 259 for years, and quite a while ago now. But I bought that Rig Expert 660 or whatever it is. Boy, I love the antenna analyzers. So neat. The one I like so much has the graph on it. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I am also a big fan of antenna analyzers, but I don't yet own one. And so I literally have in my DX Engineering shopping cart at this moment a Rig Expert Stick 500, which will give me everything I'm operating on. And be very portable, too, because I like doing kind of portable modes and getting out there and doing temporary setups and everything, field day, et cetera, quota. And I really look forward to that, but I don't have one yet. And my off-intercept dipole is measured but not tuned, so that'll be the first thing I'll want to do with it. I like those a lot, and I like how even the Rig Expert Stick will be able to connect to a PC or a smartphone and allow me to see the graphs. So I look forward to that. But haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet. That's another step up for me.
Yeah, at the 40 mark, WAAWQ. Flying on the BOTA. Yeah, that would be fun. I just enjoy listening to the BOTA stations come and go, and everybody thanking everybody else for being a part of it. I know, when I talked with you yesterday, did I talk about my discovery of my using my 160-meter antenna for 2 meters? Did I mention that yesterday?
Roger that, Gary. I was very surprised. And for identification, this is N8LJ. Gary, I'm going to wind it down here because I'm within a mile of my destination. But I am now coming in on the 3-8 repeater because I'm kind of midway between the two of them. How am I coming in for you?
Hear you fine. I can hear you on the input, too. Quite a bit of mobile flutter on the input, but I was able to hear you. I'm near Kyle.
Well, that's a surprise. I'm just a little north of Elba at the moment. And, yeah, so are you coming through on your 160-meter antenna right now?
It's only about 25 feet. It's got, I don't even know, been up there so long. Got 100 feet of 9913, so you know how old that is. Now that everything is LM400 or whatever it is. But, yeah, I got, what I did notice, though, was I thought, well, I've got a good SWR, so I should be able to receive the same as my other radio. Well, I wasn't able to. I thought, well, why would there be a difference? Well, the radiation pattern on receive on the 160-meter antenna, you know, even on 2 meters would be completely different, so it took me a while to figure that issue out. But I was glad to have figured it out, so I knew that there wasn't something wrong with the radio or the coax or the 160-meter antenna.
Yeah, Roger that. That would be horizontal versus vertical, and I'm sure it would make a difference, but it seems to me that's a lot of antenna, and it eventually you could tune it up. Well, I'm at my destination, so I'm going to be clear on your final. This is NLJN. Good talking to you, Terry. 7-3.
Okay, Larry. Thank you for the ride. Happy, healthy, and a safe weekend. And I'll be listening to the siren test this weekend too. N8LJN Mobile WAAWQ. QRQ this frequency.
AAMS monitoring.
N8LJN radio check. N8LJN. Sounds good, Bella. WAAWQ.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for calling back. As I told you, I'm programming this radio, and we didn't have got 3-8 in. But now we do, so thank you very much for calling back. Appreciate the review. using 88.5 for the subaudible, right? Roger that. But on their website, Siemens says for the, I think it's outgoing tone, it says CSQ or CQS or something like that. I'm not familiar with that. Do you know what that would mean?
No, but quite a while ago I was tinkering, and there's another subaudible that will work. I don't understand what it has to do with maybe the linking business. No. I don't care, as long as the 88.5 works.
Roger that. Thank you so much, Terry. NLJM.
Be healthy and a safe weekend. W88WQ clear with scanning.
WAEO Lansing, looking for an audio report.
Yeah, you got an audio problem, real low, at least to my radio and my ears. So you've got a problem there. WAEOWQ clear.
Okay, very good. This is a bow thing, so I don't know what to adjust, but we'll give it a try. Thanks for coming back. WAEO clear.
KEAZHK, this is NALJN. Gary, do you copy? NALJN monitoring.
N8LJN, WAAWQ. Did you make a call just here about 60 seconds ago?
Roger that, Terry. I was trying to get a hold of my friend Gary. I just left his TTH, and he was wondering if I was going to be on this frequency. So I was trying to raise him. Maybe he's not back in his room.
Yeah, okay, I thought I'd drag my feet. I'm used to dragging a repeater that has a longer scope sail.
Roger that. Are you able to hear my full transmission, or am I cutting off because of the scope sail?
No, nothing on your signal at all. It's just that when the repeater drops, maybe I'm using the wrong word. You're right. Squawks don't belong in there. The transmission, after the courtesy tone is what I'm trying to say. What's the vocabulary for that?
As I know, it is the squawks fail. So that's what I understand. And this repeater has the best announcements. N8LJN.
Station, I just the Q in it, WAAWQ, back to you.
Go ahead. Well, you copy him a little better than I do. I kind of wasn't able to write that down.
Negative, Terry. I caught TD-8, and he did it phonetically, but I couldn't quite catch it. It was about 50%. It was breaking up a little bit. Station calling, please go ahead again.
Yes, this is Hemlock. You guys are selling S9. Don't know why I'm breaking up.
That helped you, broke you. You were a little bit stronger with the audio. That helped too.
I roger that. I don't tend to swallow the microphone, so I'll choke up a little bit here. How are you guys doing today? It's a little warm out there.
Yeah, I just came in myself. I was out doing a few things in the yard. The sunshine was nice. A few drops of rain kind of came down. It was just a small, wasn't even a shower, just a little bit of a couple of drops. That's all it was. I'm near Clio. Are you expecting any rain up there?
It went north of us. Probably went over the north edge of Midland, I would say, from looks of it. Where are you at?
I'm near Kyle. Your audio has about 50% static in it. It's not too comfortable to turn the volume up on.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's a brand new radio. Wasn't aware of a problem, so now I've gotten good reports. Might be conditions, hard to say. All right, I'll let you guys carry on. This is K8DO. Cheerio.
Okay, it wasn't bad copy. It's just uncomfortable for me and my ears and my radio and my speaker, that's all. So take it with a grain of salt, friends. I'm going to say 73 is all okay. I got something in the kitchen to get to. WAWQQRT.
Roger that. TD8DO, good hearing you. And I did not get your location. You said there, and so where is that again?
Hemlock is about 17 miles west of Saginaw on M46. We're north of Hemlock, about 7 miles. We're kind of midway. We're about 12 miles south of Midland. So, best I can tell you, if you're not familiar with the area. Everything seems to be full quiet in here, so I don't know whether I developed a problem I don't know about, or just what's going on here, but anyhow, my name is Doc. Long time ham. Been around Saginaw for many, many years. Haven't been active on EHF, UHF in recent years. Go ahead.
Terry with a comment. Hang on.
Roger that, Doc. It does improve, or it has been improving as we've been speaking, so it could be just something temporary, but certainly not a problem. I can hear you now. It's just a little bit of hiss.
Okay. Well, you're checking in. That may be where the extra noise is coming from. All right, very good. I just walked in the house and heard you guys yakking on the 3-3. Been a long time since I talked on it, so we just picked up a new radio and threw up a Ringo Ranger here to get back on the air. And I was actually outside looking at where I'm going to hang a doublet to be fed with open wire line. I think I got it all doped out.
I'm on the 3-3 now myself. You sound better on the 3-3 than you did through the
the 3-8. So just that makes a difference on which of the semen link that you're on there, Don.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've been around long enough not to get all nervous because one fellow says there's a problem. Since I have been getting good solid reports. And I'm not a newbie. I can kind of tell by listening what's going on. Yep, with the multiple links. Sometimes the voters get it wrong. Sometimes there's a channel developing some issues. Back on the Savara machine for many years, I was a chief wrench turner and yada yada on that system. All right. So where are you headed today?
Hey, Doc, this is Larry, N-8-L-J-N, and I'm heading home. I was just up and out of Ham in the Elba area, here east of Flint, and back south of Lapeer in Metamora.
Okay, very good. Well, I know most of the areas there. Lived around here, you know, the thumb of Michigan and down through here almost all my life, so know it pretty well. All right, well, very good. You carry on there. Keep wheeling. Have a good day. 73, KDO.
KDO, 73. This is N8LJN, clear.
Yeah, Larry, I kind of... utilize my bank system and my Yazoo here, and I got on bank 8, I got all 6 of the 7 repeaters, so when I heard Doc on there, I rotated my knob and went through each one of them. Sounded real good on the 3-1 too, but like he was saying, there is a difference in all the linking business and so forth and so on. You can't do that mobile, can you?
Well, I really can't do that safely. And indeed, this old Kenwood, I don't even think it has enough storage locations for me to do that. All right, let's see if I can get Gary back in here, since he's listening in. I think his call is K-E-8-Z-H-K. Gary or Tammy, do you guys hear us?
Yeah, this is K-E-8-Z-H-L. I can hear you just fine. Thank you so much for all the other people that are listening. We had an Elmer over here today, Larry, and he hooked up this 5100 mobile unit.
Negative on that Elmer comment. I think Terry and Doc are the two that are the Elmers. N8LJN. Hey, Gary, why don't you come back to me? I'm hearing you quite good. I'm now switched over to the Lapeer repeater, so we're coming through the link network. And you sounded good. Very good.
This is KEHCMW, Larry. Thanks for everything today. Now, could the other guys hear us?
Well, I was waiting for them to answer, but yes, they will. You're linked up on the 3-8 repeater to the Central Michigan Emergency Network. And as I was telling Gary as I was leaving, it goes all the way down to somewhere around Fenton. I've actually reached people down even further south of that, coming through the Fenton repeater, and all the way up north, somewhere around Pinconning, possibly, maybe over even further east than that.
That's so awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to get back to doing this every other day like I was. This is KE8ZMW, clear. I'm giving you over to Gary.
This is K-8-Z-H-L. Hey, I was listening to you, the Lapeer, as well as the Flint one, And you're louder on the Lapeer one than you are on the Flint one.
Roger that. That's the magic of the Link network. And you might have heard Doc's conversation shortly after I left. He came in staticky, about 50% when we first started speaking with him, and then it gradually improved. I'm not the person to explain it. Scott can certainly do that for us, but there's a, what's called a voting system, and it picks up the loudest, where you're the loudest coming from, and it passes it on. And of course, linking it through the internet, as quickly as it does, there's always a little loss of fidelity with that. So, coming directly through the Lapeer repeater would be best for us at this moment, because it's pretty much direct, in and out.
Okay, HGHL, that is correct. I switched over to the Lapeer because it's so much clearer and louder.
Yeah, that's not really true.
Okay, someone wants to explain it to us. Please go ahead. Any of those hands?
First, Doc, are you still there? Okay, Doc, are you still there? I guess not. Jeff, you were teed up over on TMRS, by the way. While you may think it's better, every single receiver, no matter if you're on Lapeer, gets digitized and then retransmitted out on the network. So however you sound into Lapeer is how you'll sound out any of the other Link network repeaters. Okay? Even if you're on the Lapeer repeater, it's still, the receiver isn't directly connected to the transmitter. It goes still through the network and then back out. So it might seem better because you're closer to that transmitter, and that transmitter may be a little bit louder, but there's no difference. Just because you're directly connected, there's no direct connection from the receiver to the transmitter, even if you're on the same site.
Well, thank you very much for that. That was very interesting. Is this WFM?
But yes.
Hey, I want to thank you, now that I got you on the radio instead of on Slack, for everything you do for us. That the network is great. You tower climbers are amazing, and we greatly appreciate everything you you do for all of us amateurs.
No worries. I was hoping Doc was there because the Hemlock receiver was off, so just went and fixed that. So I was hoping he was back. So that was Doc's issue, is he was only getting into the main receiver about a quarter scale instead of full scale. But every receiver receives the signal, digitizes it, even if it's at the same site, and then turns it right back out to the network. So otherwise it wouldn't be able to do the signal to noise coding and compare each receiver. So it treats the main receiver as the big one, or it treats the main receivers as no different than any of the remote receivers.
All right, Gary, and if you can come back to me, I want you to recall, I think you were at the meeting where Scott showed us how the signal can be viewed on the monitor that he had on the computer in real time. It shows how much you're coming into the repeater. It's pretty impressive. And so he was just explaining how that can be done and what it does. I did not know that all of them go first through the internet and then come back out through the repeater. In that way, it enables the network. So very good.
KHZHL, I totally understand it. Awesome. Yeah, this was a great day today. Thank you so much for everything.
All right. You're very welcome, and I'm back at the farm now, and so I'm going to say 7-3, and have yourself a good afternoon and a nice weekend. And watch out for those thunderstorms. We should be getting some bad ones here. N8LJN.
Thank you. KEHGHL 7-3 clear.
KEHCMW clear, 73. Thanks, Larry. Thanks to whoever was speaking on is helping us as well. Bye-bye.
KDO, KB8SWR.
KB8SWR, KDO, hi.
Hi, Doc. The Hemlock receiver was offline, so that's why you weren't making Saginaw very well, but it's back working now.
What was his problem?
He was sending a signal to Lansing repeater, and Lansing repeater said, I don't want you.
In layman's terms, the IP guy, when he re-IP'd stuff, he put it to the wrong IP or something, I don't know. We won't throw that Fred guy under the bus, but... So you were full speed at Hemlock that time.
All right, yep. Whatever you did, 3-3 is sounding a lot better here.
We didn't change nothing on the transmitter. Just now it was the receiver, so with you getting into the system. Because we've got a receiver in Hemlock there, so. But it was offline prior to Fred just fixing it. It's back online now. Yeah, you were full scale that time into Hemlock, so your radio's working.
Yeah, very good. I pretty much, when I was talking to those guys, pretty much decided after the first couple of back and forths that this had to be somewhere in the voter system. And been down that road back when we... In fact, the Hemlock link was my doing back in ancient times.
Yep. Well, the 3-3 now has the receiver in the same spot, same cabinet. Sits right next to its 2-4 brother there.
Very good. Yep, been up there more than once, way more than once, including in the middle of the night with blowing snow and ice a couple of times. Oh well. Anyway, did you have a good fourth? Anything special?
Up having a day off, which was pretty surprised because, you know, I'll just leave it at that, I guess. Usually I have to work the holidays. But. Got a couple of radios mounted in my pickup. I had my pickup for a year and just now finally got a couple of radios in it. So that was pretty happy with that and camping now. So it doesn't go back to Saginaw RF no more. It's all, well, I should rephrase that. It doesn't go back on 432 anymore. It goes back on Interview, and that's thanks to our mastermind, Fred, that's got it all set up. And he was just in here, too, talking, so I'll let him pick it up so we don't leave him out. And he goes and barbecues more stuff. Fred?
Not barbecuing today. I got so much pulled pork upstairs. I'm going to be having pork for the next 4 days.
Well, keep pulling. I don't have a 440 antenna yet. With this radio, I went out to the aluminum pile and fished out a new unused Ringo Ranger that was intended for a project that never got finished. So I got that up on a pole. And I do have a dual band 440, a diamond, a big one. But two of the radials disappeared, and the one radio had the end snapped off, although you could still put it back in and use it. But I ordered new radials from Diamond. They should be here, hopefully it'll be here Monday or Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to it. Now, the thing is, I can't mount that big antenna on this little pole I got strapped to the back porch of the house here. So got to come up with a more permanent solution.
Well, what happened to the tower you had the repeater on?
Oh, it's still there. And the remains of the repeater antenna are up there, a long ways up. And I don't know if I will, in fact, I know I will not be able to go take that down anymore. It required a fair amount of muscle 20 years ago, and I don't have that muscle anymore.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. I've done my fair share of tower climbing. Actually taking the weekend off from building networks.
Yeah, well, I got to go right to the top. And I've got a chrome molly, a pole sticking up, and the repeater base is mounted to the top of that. And I have little steps I manufactured and put on that pole. So you're up there a long ways. But the big thing is to pull that pole off and bring it down. It's beyond me now physically. Don't have any problem climbing there, but I just don't have the muscle to wrestle that pole. It's, oh, I don't know, 80, 85, maybe 90 pounds. Quite a handful, especially up there when you're strapped and dangling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't remember. Did you get a new handheld or a new mobile radio? I don't remember what you were saying on the net the other night.
Well, this is the Alenco 735. It is designed as a mobile radio. It's got a removable front and all that, but it was purchased to use it here in the house. I didn't want to pay the price for an all-mode Charlie. This is kind of Char's radio now, and she has no interest in 2-meter sideband and chasing Trapo DX and all that, so... So rather than pay double, I went this route. Nice little radio.
Yep, there you go. So, I wondered if you had a handheld programmed up that's not too far from the elevator, so... I would think you shouldn't have any trouble making that receiver.
Well, I would think not. But we've checked into the Bay City net, and we're going to check into the Midland net this coming week. I didn't even check Thursday night to see if it was on. I didn't think it would be. But that was an assumption. Yep. Well, I got more antenna and et cetera projects than I can wave a stick at the moment. I want to get most of them knocked out before the summer goes away. You know how that goes.
Oh, I know. A lot of stuff I want to get done. We want to get done and built and on the air and working before the summer goes away. Last couple of years, it's pretty much the way it's been. We got a lot done the last couple of years, but a lot of stuff on the air and a lot of work done.
Yeah, I got to get a roofing company in to look at my pole barn. I see that I've got a couple of shingles that have split. And when did I put that barn up? It must have been around 1992. So I've probably gotten my use out of those shingles. And I got some work around the house that needs to be done up on the roof edges. And so that's on the project. Right now the library's all ripped up here and hauled the old couch out and everything. And cleaning it up, and we're discussing whether we're going to put another couch back in or get recliners or what we're going to do there.
Boy, always something. Sounds good. Sounds good to hear you back in here, Doc. But we've got the receiver fixed and got you back in full scale. So I'll cut you loose and doing some radio programming here. Get back to that. 73 KB8SWR, Wildwoods, Michigan.
Okay, Fred. Talk to you later, buddy. 73 KDO.
WFSM KVSWR. WFSM KVSWR.
N8LIY.
Hey, there's a radio call. My name is Joe, J-O-E, and the call is Whiskey 8 Sierra Sierra, Whiskey 8 Sierra Sierra. Returning your call, and how are you today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good today. I'm just kind of testing out a antenna here. A little bit, trying to see if it picked any of these repeaters in my area.
Yeah, your signal's not 100% quieting by any means. It's definitely got, as people used to say, it's got some frying bacon in the background, meaning you're not a fully quieting signal into the FM receiver. But regardless, there you are, and we have good audio, a lot of punch, and I can hear what you're saying. So what city are you located in, and what is your name? Over.
Sorry about that. I always forget that part. My name is Rick. I am in New Lothrop, and I am coming out of, what repeater am I on right now? It's 147.38 out of Flint, I believe.
Well, pretty close. It's this machine is in Fenton, Fenton, Michigan, and you're doing well into it. Like I said, it's just not a full quieting signal. It's just it's still a pretty good signal, and your audio is punching through real well, no problem at all. I did not get your call. Would you be kind enough to tell me phonetically what your call was?
Roger that. Yep, it's going to be Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo, Lima X-Ray.
Okay, very good, sir. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo, Lima X-Ray. No problem. Good to talk with you. And you're basically, like I said, you know, look, it's not 100% quieting, but it's a damn good signal. I mean, I'm able to hear you, and your audio is coming through beautifully. So I would say you're making the machine quite admirably. I've certainly heard worse, attempts. So, out this way, or are you just scanning around and finding different frequencies to try out?
Actually, like I said, I'm kind of testing out a new antenna here, and I've only been a ham for a few weeks here now, and I've been playing with different antenna types and actually building a couple of different antennas too. Just not having much luck. Where I'm at here in New Lothrop is kind of a dead zone, because it's a dead zone for cell signal as well as now it seems like radio signal. So I'm just having a little bit of an issue, even though I don't have any problems on my 10 and 11. But for some reason on these FM frequencies, I'm having a little bit of an issue getting out. So I'm going to either have to boost power or get this antenna way up in the air. And just FYI, I am on an H, running about 8 watts right now.
Hey, very good, Richard. Well, that's fine, and you're doing very well. And congratulations on getting involved with the hobby and getting your license and all. And New Lothrop is a pretty good haul, so you're doing pretty good. It's tough with an HT. I know what you're saying, and you want an antenna with a little bit of gain. And obviously, the higher in the air you get your antenna, the better off you are. and obviously tuning into all this stuff, but a unidirectional antenna that you can point in a given direction gives you some additional forward gain, and of course the advantage of attenuation off the sides and mostly off the rear. So just things to think about. The other thing you think about is a good transmission line, so that all the impedances match and you don't end up with an SWR ratio that's unfavorable. So those are the things to look out for, and as you have the time to play around with the hobby and perfect those things, your signal will get louder and louder and your ability to receive will get better and better. Over.
I see that. Yeah, like I said, I've messed with a couple of different types. I built a couple of ladder line antennas that worked okay as long as I was in a certain area. I'm having a hard time getting it set up to where I can actually sit where I want to sit and have, you know, a base station with the antenna in working condition. Right now, it is a, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I've got a diamond, what do they call this thing, something gain, power gain or something like that. It's supposed to have 5 dBs of gain, but about 15 feet up in the air. Now it's basically on a 12-foot mast. It's on a 12-foot piece of pipe for a mast, and then that's on a tripod, so like I said, it's about 15 feet up.
Okay, roger that, Richard. All right, real good. Well, sounds like you're having fun. And one of the things I always enjoyed the most when I first got started in radio many years ago was seeing all the antennas and seeing what the advantages they would provide for me. So I know exactly what you're doing and how much fun you're having. A couple of suggestions. One is, Richard, more than likely that radio has a 50-ohm impedance at the output. So you want to have 50 ohm transmission line. Open ladder line is not exactly 50 ohm unless you got a tuner in between of some sort. But having a good match is very important because you couple more signal that way, and you'll just do well as you experiment around and have fun with things. By and large, the kind of radio that you're using has a coaxial output that is more than likely 50 ohms. If you use 50 ohm cable and use connectors that are appropriate for 50 ohm and that sort of thing, you go up to that diamond antenna that probably terminates in a 50 ohm terminal impedance, you'll have a match, or at least you'll be closer to a match, and that'll make a big help in terms of both receiving and transmitting. So listen, have fun and enjoy it and experiment around, and that's what the hobby's all about. KF8BLX from Whiskey Sierra Sarah, back to you.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely learning that. But, I did a lot of reading, did a lot of experimenting already, like you said. And I don't know what you mean exactly by going into 50-ohm cable. I mean, I am going, the ladder lines I built out of the 450-ohm ladder lines, but then they were brought down to just regular RG8 50-ohm coax into a PLT59 and then into the radio. I don't know if that's what you meant by matching or not, but I do have an SWR reader, and they were doing great SWR-wise. I mean, really no issues at all. They're actually lower than what I see out of the store-bought antenna I have now.
Okay, roger that. Well, Richard, sounds good, and, have fun with it. What I'm seeing is that most of those antennas, like the ones you're using, and most of the radios, like the one you're using, are not meant for balanced line. You'd have to put a network in between the output of the radio and the balanced line to use balanced line. So you need to either make or get or design a system to make that work. Like you're saying, it's 450 ohm open ladder line. On VHF, Not that it's not doable, it's doable, but you want a better match, you know. And the radio system there is designed for 50 ohm coaxial cable. You know, that's the one with the center conductor and then the shield all around the outside. Anyhow, just saying, but look, Richard, it's working for you, and you're on the air, and things are good, so yay, it's working. You've already made big steps and big progress because you got moving, so you're doing fine. But when you're reading about stuff like that, look at balanced versus unbalanced transmission lines and realize that open wire situations like that are for balanced antennas, this is an unbalanced situation, so a little bit of difference there. But anyway, no problem. There's nothing wrong with using open wire like that ladder line. I mean, you can. It's usually used on HF, and it's used with a tube in between, so that you can use a dipole to whatever frequency you're on. On VHF, it would be a little kind of highly irregular. Not that it can't be done. It can, but generally, that's the way to go with coaxial cable. Yes, sir. All right, anyway, you're having fun, and I'm not out to discourage. I think you're doing great. And most important, Richard, you're on the air. All right, and with that, back to you.
All righty, yeah. I think I get exactly what you're saying there. I get it now. It makes more sense now. Definitely does. Unfortunately, with that, though, I do have somebody beckoning my assistant here, so I'm going to have to cut this short, unfortunately, and I do appreciate all of the information and the help there and the report. It definitely helps me out a lot, and I will look into some of the things you were saying there and see if I can make modifications and or just figure out the correct way to do this. I can imagine after time, like it takes some time to get to doing this stuff for a while, and you start figuring these things out. So that's what I'm hoping for. But like I said, thanks for all the information again. 73 to you, and I'm going to make this my final on your final. And that's going to be with CH-8, Bravo Lima X-ray.
Okay, Richard, once again, congratulations. You're on the air, man. You got your license, a big step, and welcome to the hobby, and have fun with it, and get on and chat anytime, and I'm happy to help you. I've been doing this for, I don't want to tell how many years. I was first licensed in 1964. Okay, anyway, so I've been doing this a long while, Richard, but I'm always happy to help, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you. And once again, yay, you're on the air, man. It's working out. All right, so take it easy, and talk to you later, or as we say, further down the log. All right, KF8BLX from Whiskey 8 Sierra Sierra W8SS. Bye-bye now.